We should just keep on going, as our minig is on Sunday. And anyways, we should be doing two blat today. So let's go on, and we'll see how far we get. Okay, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, towards the bottom. Amar Rav Ashi, Afanan Nemar Bavel, Borsif and Borsif Bavel. Another difference between the two, another difference after the Churban was that they used to call Bavel Borsif, and Borsif they used to call Bavel. Amay Nafkamina L'Gitei Nashim, the Nafkamina was with regards to a get. That if a person sees a get that's written in the city of Borsif, then he should know that's really Bavel, and Bavel is really Borsif. And again, probably nowadays we're back to regular time. So, Hadron Alach Bamei Madlikin. Okay, that sums up our second perek. Baruch Hashem, two down, 22 to go. Kira, this following perek is another perek that is learnt in yeshivas, I should say in kelim. The following perek is one of the main prakim. You either learn the first nine blat that we saw already, or you learn, there's really three parts to Masechet Shabbos that the yeshivas learn. There's the first couple blat, which at the same time you learn the 11th parak. Actually, there's really four. The second part that you learn is Kira. This could take a year. The following five, six blat could take a year. This is Bishul. Then there's Muksa, which is, you know, you cherry pick throughout the Masechta Muksa. And then there's Malachas, which you cherry pick Malachas starting in the 7th parak. But, so this is the second part that is learnt amongst the Shivas. Kira. Shehesikuha bekash ubigvava. If you have an oven that was heated up with straw. Kash is the top parts of the wheat plant. When you have a wheat plant, so there's the wheat, there's the stalk, then there's the part that has the actual wheat, and then there's like the tail of it is it goes higher than the actual wheat. It's the stalk part that goes above where the actual wheat grows. That is the kash. Or, alternatively, it's the stalk part that you go and that you cut off. In other words, when you cut off the wheat, you don't cut it off directly where the wheat grows. You cut it off at the bottom, and everything from where you cut it until the wheat starts is considered the kash. It's the straw part. And a second part is, and the gvava is the part that's left in the ground. It's the straw part that's left in the ground. Both of them are what we would, in English, I believe, call straw. I don't know how do they translate it? A straw for both or
stubble. Straw or stubble.
Okay. Either I don't know. Okay. I'm not sure if a farmer would say stubble. It could be that they're just doing it to differentiate. But and they're both basically the same parts of the same plant. It's the same plants, just different parts of the same plant. Again, you'll have the stalk. You cut off the stalk, let's say, a third away from the ground. The part that's left in the ground is considered they're calling stubble. And the part that's cut off with your sickle is called the straw. And they're both really straw, or part of the wheat plant. Okay, so if you have a fire that has been heated up with this straw, noistinaleha tavshel, you're able to put on it something to cook. The Gemara will discuss everything over here. We're talking, obviously, not on Shabbos. Nois and Nilei Tavshel, we're able to put something on the fire, or this type of fire, to cook. Begefes of Eitzim, but if the oven has been heated up with Gefes, which is more of a hotter fuel that would heat up a fire. Rashi explains that Gefes is the leftovers of the sesame plant, which has, when you take out the oil, so the leftover junk over there, and you heat it up with, and you're burning that, junk in order to heat up your fire, or it was a stove, it was a wood fire. You'll be eating lo yitain. You're not allowed to put a pot on it ad she yigreif, or until you perform something called grufa. Grufa is you clear out all of the stuff that we're heating up the fire. So in other words, they used to have this oven, which is, can you imagine, a box. On the bottom surface of the oven, they had tons of wood, or this gefes business. So in order to allow you to place a pot on top of the stove, where is the normal place to put it, you would not be allowed to do it unless you cleared out all the things that were heating up the fire. That's called grufa. Alternatively, you don't have to clear it out. You can spread ash on top of it, and that's called ketuma. Oy atche yitein esa efer. Or you put ash on top of the fire. So atche yigre v'yiktem is the expressions. Beishame omrim, Beishame said, chamen. You're allowed to place hot water after you do grufa and ketuma. However, avaloy tavshel. Even after you do grufa and ketuma, you cannot put a cooking food. You can only do hot water. Because hot water, we're not so scared that you would stoke the coals anyways. Even though there's no coals left. Nevertheless, they made a gezera. However, Beis Hillel omrim chamen v'tavshel. You're allowed, once you do Guruf and Ketuma, you're allowed to do both a Chamen and a Tavshel. What's Nogea nowadays is we call a Blech Guruf and Ketuma. Chazanish disagrees. Chazanish holds a Blech is nothing. But Halach Lamaisa in America, and in most of Eretz Yisrael, we consider a Blech Guruf and Ketuma. So for the duration of the next four blat, just bear in mind that it's still no gay alamaisa. Everything that we're going to talk about, grufa and ketuma, just translate in your mind as a blech. And blechs are, before hot plates, they were very much in style. Nowadays they're going a bit out of style. But for those who do not rely on the lenient opinion about hot plates, then blechs are very much in style. They're still no gay, even by hot plates. Beishama emrim noitlin avaloy ma'achzirin. Beishama says, you are able to take off a item from the fire, but you can't put it back on once you took it off. And of course, Beisham is obviously only referring to hot water. No, you're able to both take off from the fire and put it back on. And the Gemara will discuss, of course, the three conditions that you need to do chazara that we are familiar with. If you want to take challah on Friday night, what do you have to do in order to take it off the fire and put it back on? Okay. Says the Gemara. It says that if it's begefas and be'etzim, second line into the Mishnah, it says, lo yitain ad sheyigref. You're not allowed to put a pot of water on, or you're not allowed to put something on top of the kira until you perform grufa and ketuma. So, hi lo yitain. What does lo yitain mean? Doesn't mean lo yachzerhu. Doesn't mean that you're not allowed to take it off and put it back. Avalishhois mashin. But you are able to keep it there. In other words, put it on before Shabbos and keep it there. Aval pisha enegarv enegatam. Even if there was gruf and ketuma was not performed. Umani, and who would our Mishnah follow? Our Mishnah would follow the position of Chananya. Umani Chananya hi. It is the position of Chananya. The Tanya Chananya Omer Kol Shehu Kamachol Ben Rusoi Mutul Hashoyis Al Gabe Kira Afal Bisha Inigar Veinikotem. We were just introduced to the position of Chananya. Chananya's opinion is that let's take a step back. There is obviously the halacha that it's also to cook on Shabbos. You're not allowed to put anything, a pot of food on the fire on Shabbos. That is not the topic of our perek. Our perek is discussing three different dinim derabanan that the Rabbanan placed in order to prevent a person doing cooking on Shabbos. But we're not talking about cooking on Shabbos in our perek. What we're talking about is three different dinim. One of them is shihia, which is the prohibition to leave an item cooking on your stove on Shabbos. Meaning, it's mutter to go ahead and turn the sprinkler on right before Shabbos, even though your grass will get watered on Shabbos. And it's mutter, technically, without, maybe it's Mar Zionish, is what I'm saying, but Al-Tilch Shabbos, it's mutter. And Al-Tilch Shabbos, it's mutter to set, you're allowed to set a trap half an hour before Shabbos, even though it might catch an animal. You're allowed to do these things on Shabbos. That they prohibited you to go ahead and do shehia to cook on Shabbos. Why? Because they were scared you may come to stoke the coals on Shabbos. So therefore, even though you put it on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to keep it there on Shabbos. That's called shehia. With regards to shehia, we were just introduced to Chananya's opinion. Chananya's opinion is that if it's cooked, at least, machlek is if it's a half or a third, but if it's a cooked kemachal ben rusoi, then it is permitted to do shehia, even though it's only cooked 50%, or according to some, 33%. Nevertheless, it's mutter to keep it rolling on Shabbos. L'chadchila, It is mutter to keep it rolling on Shabbos. That is the position of Hananiah. So he goes ahead and he says that Shehiya is very limited. It's only usher if it's from point, if it's from 1% to 33%. And remember, we already saw back in the first parak that if it's 0%, it's mutter also. Right. According to everybody, yeah.
When it says cook, we are never to assume that it's 100% cooked, ready to eat. That's never what it means.
According to Hananiah, when it says that it's usher to leave something uncooked, it means only if it's from 1 to 33%.
But the Mishnah has just told us that it's cooked. So when it says that it's cooked, we don't understand that that means 100%.
Well, actually, that's what our Gemara is discussing right now. Who is the author of the Mishnah? Is the when the Mishnah says that it's usher to do... When the Mishnah says... The second line of the Mishnah says that if you have a regular oven, one that was heated with wood, then you are not, meaning a regular oven, you are not allowed to yitain. Now, what does yitain mean? Does yitain mean that you can't do chazara? Well, we didn't get the chazara yet. But does yitain mean you can't do chazara? Or does yitain mean that you can't do shehiya? That's the discussion in our Gemara.
But we're dealing with the same exact, according to our scroll, they're translating it as saying cooked food. So again, when it says cooked food, we're not understanding that it's cooked ready to eat. We're understanding that it's something that's 0% or 1%.
No, no. When Artsko says cooked, 50%. That's what they mean, yeah.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
So, but the okay, so that's prohibition number one they invented. They invented prohibition number two called chazara. Meaning, if something is cooking on the stove, even if it's fully cooked, if you take it off, you cannot put it back on. Unless you have three qualifications, which we will discuss shortly. But that's called the Isser of Chazara, even though it's already fully cooked. And that's part of Nesina Lechatchila. You're not allowed to put something on the stove, even if it's fully cooked. There is a heter, by the way, for putting something completely dry onto a hot plate. Not everybody agrees to this heter, so you have to speak to your local rav. But if you hold the heter of hot plates, so then you're allowed to go ahead and take something out of the fridge and put it on the hot plate on Shabbos day. Many places can hold of this, which is why it's good to have a hot plate. So, you would not be allowed to put it on your stove. You cannot take schnitzel, totally dry, and put it on your stove, or blech. You can't put it on your blech. Even if it's garuf and katum, you can't do that. The only thing you're allowed to do is, if it's already on, the challenge is already cooking, with the three conditions, you're allowed to do chazara. So if you don't have those three conditions, you can't do chazara.
Do we need to understand what you just said? The difference between a blech and a hot plate and this dry item?
Yes, because... the difference between a blech and a hot plate is that a blech is where you normally cook. So it's a kira, that's garuf and katum. Whereas a hot plate is not like you normally cook. So you don't have to have any of the conditions for putting it there.
In your case, the dry item in the fridge.
Since it's not the place that you normally cook, so when I put my schnitzel on the hot plate, I'm not cooking, and I'm not violating any chazara, because chazara is putting it back on a place that's garuf and katum. And a hot plate is not garuf and katum, it's not a place that you cook.
And your schnitzel, for example, is fully cooked?
Yes. No, it's got to be 100% cooked. It can't even be 50% cooked. It's got to be 100% cooked. So that's chazara. And then there's a third thing, which we're going to get to in the next parak, also not talking about the ikur din of bishul, but rather it's talking about the halachas of hatmana, of you're not allowed to cover something over. That's going to be the subject of the next parak. So in our parak, we're discussing the first two isurim derabana that were mentioned, which are shehiya, leaving something on, and chazara, even though it's fully cooked, returning it to something that's garuf and katam, which is also usur, unless you fulfill the conditions, which we will discuss. So now, our Mishnah said, lo yitain. On a regularly, let's just one more small hakdama. The Mishnah differentiated between if the oven was heated up with straw or wood. An oven that was heated up with straw is not so hot, and it wasn't the regular way to cook. And if it was the regular way, it was more like a heating type of thing rather than actually cooking. So therefore, if it was heated with straw, we're much more makel than if it was heated with wood, which is a regular fire. Nowadays, there's no such thing as a straw-heated oven. Everything is a din of a regular heated oven because we don't have a straw-heated oven. So therefore, we have... Therefore, says the Gemara, if you have a wood-heated oven, you're not allowed to lo yitain, you're not allowed to put something on. Says the Gemara, we know you're obviously not talking about putting it on Shabbos. That's us to cook on Shabbos. You're obviously talking about the Isser of Chazara or the Isser of Shehiyah.
Why can't we say that it's something that's fully cooked that you return? Because
Ein Bishlach HaBishl. No, because Ein Bishlach HaBishl says that would be Mutter.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Why couldn't that be a possible case?
So it might be. That's so I'm saying. So why would it be Usr then? The Gemara is saying Lo Yitain. No, but you're right. You're right. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, is it the Isser of, that's the Isser of Chazara. The Isser of Chazara is that even though Ein Bishlach HaBishl, even though you can't cook schnitzel again, and once schnitzel is cooked, it's cooked, or a chalent is rolling, it's already rolling, nevertheless, there's an Isser called Chazara, there's a Darabanan called Chazara. And that's what the Mishnah explains, that's what the Gemara explains, is what the Mishnah means when it says, Ein Bishel, when it says Lo Yitain. Does it mean the Isser of Chazara, the Darabanan of Chazara, because of Ein Bishel Acha Bishel, it's only Darabanan? Or, and therefore, it would be mutter to do shihiyah. And it must be talking about where it's cooked one-third, because there is an isser of shihiyah. Therefore, it would be mutter to do shihiyah. And our Mishnah would reflect the view of Chananya, who says that once the item is cooked, kemachol ben drusoy, it is permitted to do shihiyah. So, our Mishnah, which says, lo yitain, would be referring to the isser of Chazara. The Tanya Chananya Amar Kol Shehu Kamacha Ben Yisoy Mutar La'Hashayis Al Gabi Kira Afa Bisha Einigar Ve'Einigatam Oy Dilma. Are we referring to the Isser of Shehiyah La'Hashayis Tanan? And it's telling you that even if the item is fully cooked, you are not allowed to leave it on the stove. Lo Ve'Igar Afa Katum En. If the stove has a blech on it or has been garif and katum, then it is permitted. Eloy. And if it has not been garif and katum, loy. And if a koshik in lachzer, and certainly it would be also to do chazara. That's the Gemara's clear. Are we referring to the Isra of chazara or referring to the Isra of shehiyah?
How do you do the koshik in?
Because if it's usher to leave it on and not do anything, then certainly it's usher to take it off and actively put it on. You weren't even allowed to leave it on in the first place.
And this option, this old Dilma, is assuming in both cases the food is completely 100% cooked?
If the Mishnah means lo yishe, so then it doesn't differentiate between how cooked it is.
Right.
So then, yes, I believe it would be even fully cooked.
Okay.
So Toshima, the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. Midikatani, from the fact that it states, Trei Bavi B'Masizan, two cases in the Mishnah. It says, Beishame Emim Chamen Avaloi Tavshel, hot water, but not, you're allowed to do hot water, but you're not allowed to do cooked foods. Beisil Emim Chamen V'Tavshel. Then it says again, Beishame Emim Noitlin Avaloi Machzirin, you could take it, but you can't do Chazara. Beisil Emim Af Machzirin, you can even do Chazara. Now, what's the two cases? From the fact that they have two separate Machlekesim, and the second Machlekes seems to be talking about Chazara, so, I amr bishlama, if you tell me that the first cases of the Mishnah are talking about the Isser of Shehiyah, Lashaisnan, so then hachi katoni, this is the way to read the Mishnah. Kiro shehesikua bekasha begvava, if the kiro was heated up with straw and it's not so hot, so then you're allowed to do Shehiyah, mashin aleo tavshel, begefas of eitzim, if it was heated up with a higher heated fuel like wood, then lo yish, you cannot do shehiyah. Ad sheyigroif oyad sheyitin efer, until you do grufa ketuma. Umahein mashin, what are you allowed to do shehiyah on even after grufa ketuma? Beishame emrim chamen of leitavshel, beisil emrim chamen of leitavshel. And the last case of the Mishnah could be the ki heged the pligi belashos pligi nami belahachzer. In the same way, they argue about the isra of shehiyah, they also argue about the isra of chazara. Shebeishame emrim noitlan of leim machzirin, you cannot do chazara ever. Ubeisil emrim av machzirin, that you could do chazara as long as it's garfu katam on tavshel. Ella I amit lahachzer tnan. But if you want to say that it's talking about to do chazara, so then hachi katani. This is the way to read it. Kira shehesikua bekasha begvava, machzirin aleha tavshel. If you have a kira that was heated up with kash and gvava, then you're allowed to do chazara. Begefas of eitzim, lo yachzir, you're not allowed to do chazara. Ad sheyigrav ayat sheyitin efer. Umahein machzirin, what are you allowed to do chazara on? Beishama emrim chavan avlei tavshel, beisil emrim chavan avlei tavshel. And then, what's the last case in the Mishnah? Beishama emrim noitlan avlei machzirin, beisil emrim af machzirin. Hasulamali. It's the exact same case. Why is the Mishnah is talking way too ba'arichos? That's the Gemara's question. In other words, go back to the Mishnah. There is seemingly an extra step in the Mishnah. If you say that the first line of the Mishnah is referring to a situation where you have chazara, so then what's the last step in the Mishnah? It's the exact same case. That is the Gemara's question. Says the Gemara la'olam, I will tell you, says the Gemara, that what? Really, it means to do chazara. Really, the first case of the Mishnah could mean chazara. There's no proof from the fact that there's an extra case in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah could be missing some words. The Mishnah is missing some words, and this is the correct way to read the Mishnah. Kira, if you have an oven that is heated up, that is heated up with a straw, non-hot. You're able to do chazara. Until you do chazara. Until you do gruf and ketumah. But you want to know you're about shehiyah? Shehiyah, you're allowed to do shehiyah. Mashin, afa pi she'ene garf ene kotim. You're allowed to do shehiyah. Umahin mashin, and what are you allowed to do chashiyon? Beishame emrim chamen avlei tavshel, beisil emrim chamen v'tavshel. V'hach chazor de amir lecha, and this chazor that we told you that it's mutter is lav divrei hakoli. Ella machlikas beishama beishilol. It would be a machlikas beishama beishilol. Shabayishama yomrim noitlin v'loy magzirin. Beishilol yomrim av magzirin. Beishama would say that it's aser. And beishama would say that it's aser. Beishilol would say that it is mutter. So what happens is as follows. The Gemara, again, we're dealing with two different isurim over here. There's the isur of shehiya and there's the isur of chazara. Or the concept of chazara. The Gemara saw in the first line of the Mishnah, it says, second line of the Mishnah, it says that if you have an oven that is heated up with gefas and eitzim, you're not allowed to lo yitain. You're not allowed to do yitain ad sheyigrif ad sheyitain as a efer. You're not allowed to put something on it. Says the Gemara, is that referring to chazara, but shehiyah would be mutter, or is that referring to shehiyah and shehiyah is aser? Says the Gemara, it's got to be shehiyah. Because otherwise, the very next case in the Mishnah starts to talk about Chazara. So what are the two things? So it's got to be that the Mishnah reflects the view of the Chachamim, not Chananya. And it's saying, lo yitain, meaning you cannot do Shehiyah. Because otherwise, what are the two cases in the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. Maybe our Mishnah does reflect the view of Chananya. Why are there two cases? Because there's some words missing. You're right, the very first line is talking about Chazara. Add in a line about Shehiyah to reflect the view of Chananya. So our Mishnah could be Chananya. Now, why are we doing this? To twist the arm of the Mishnah? Just read the Mishnah simply. Basically, you're telling me that you agree to the Raya, that the second line proves that we have to be talking about Shehiyah somewhere in the Mishnah. So you're basically, why are you twisting hands to Edwards in the Mishnah? The answer is because we paskin like Chananya. And therefore, we're going to do everything we could to make a Stam Mishnah like Chananya. We don't want a paskin not like a Stam Mishnah. So therefore, the Gemara will twist the hand of the Mishnah to make it reflect the view of Chananya. But that's what the Gemara just did. Because the simple reading of the Mishnah, the only way to read the Mishnah is to say that the first line is Shehiyah, the second line is Chazara, and then it reads Glat. To say that it means Chazara, Shehiyah, Chazara, and add in some words, it's not so Gishmak. But at the same time, we'd prefer to do that so it could reflect the way we pass. All right, so let's stop over here for the day, seeing it's 7:25 already. And over the next couple days, we'll catch up, even though we are going to miss another 2 days this week. But I'm not too worried long term. So, all right, have a great one, Rabbi Yisrael.